really want to thank Dennis and Sang for such a wonderful presentation. I felt so moved, I think I should apply again. Wow, I like the condition. Huh? Yeah. You know, between now till June next year, I figured out I have about 20 more sermons to go. I'm counting down myself, but really, I think for First Light, something good is going to happen. And I say this not because I love all you guys, I say it because I sense it in the spirit. And really, if those of you who have ever read C.S. Lewis' book called Chronicles of Narnia or watched the movie adaptation, we all know this character called Aslan the Lion. And Aslan, of course, is a symbol or what I call a typology of Jesus Christ. And not giving you the whole plot away, but basically there was an evil snow witch that has so-called ruled over Narnia for a long time. It was always winter. And so the creatures all there say it's always winter, but never Christmas. But one interesting situation happens when the four kids enter into Narnia, the snow begins to thaw. And then the rumor starts spreading saying, Aslan is on the move. Aslan is on the move. Those of you who may not know, and this is actually underreported all over the world, but right now there is so-called tortures of revival happening all over the world. Not in some places, but lots of places, from India to Africa, from Africa to Asia, from Asia to America, as well as in Europe. In fact, you have been following the news, as not what happened to Trump last week, or what happened to CrowdStrike, but really, if you're following the news, you know, thousands and thousands of young people have been gathering for the past couple of years. In fact, last month, worshipping publicly outside in some of the public squares in London itself, in Trafalgar Square, all these places. And the thing about this generation of young people, they are what we call the Gen Z. Those of you who are 27 years old, you are Gen Z. Any 27 years old, wave your hands. Okay, I can sense the spirit of lie in this place. Afterward, we're going to have you need to come up for prayer, right? Those of you 27 years old, don't be shy, really put out your hand. Okay? Those of you are 27 years old and younger. Ah, suddenly all the hands are up. Now, I'm going to tell you, you are going to be the most interesting generation because you're going to see a revival happening in your lifetime. Okay, and this revival is the greatest revival that's going to happen, and God's Spirit is not going to pass us by, because almost 100 years ago, a man called Smith Wigglesworth prophesied the last great move of the Spirit will begin in Australia, and actually it was going to begin somewhere in Western Australia. And I was having a conversation with Pastor Luke a few weeks ago, and I said, Luke, do you believe that in this spot is the zero point or the ground zero or revival? And the first thing he says, yes, Richard, I believe. I believe God is going to touch something in our hearts, that our hearts will be strangely warm to see the great move of the Spirit. But really, if you look at what's happening last year in Ashbury in Kentucky, America, a small little town with a famous Bible college run by the Methodists, there was a great move of the Spirit. And for 16 days, 50,000 people descended upon the place and saw the move of God. And what was interesting, worship went for 24/7, and all the worship people that was leading worship was not part of the worship team. No, one after another just keep coming up. Once get tired of singing, after 3-4 hours, someone else will take over. And that went on for 24/7. And America, as you know, is at a turning point. If last week, if Donald Trump had died, he had gone into a civil war. But I believe God has hands, has protection over this nation. And I believe it's beginning of a healing of that nation, America. But we all have to pray. You know, I do not know whether or how you think of Donald Trump, but I'll tell you, he's like Vegemite. Either you like it or you hate it, you know. But it's nothing about that. It's really praying. Because, you know, in Old Testament, God said, my righteousness will go into the nation. How many of us seen righteousness in our nation? I think we want that to happen as well, isn't it? But for America, in the vapor of cultural Christianity, God has light the fire. Aslan is moving. If you go to Europe, if you know the history of Europe, it is no longer a Christian so-called Europe. In fact, it is now pre-Christian. It is as good as pagan, because Europe today is like the first century where the gospel was first preached by Paul, by Peter. Europe was a pagan empire of many religion, many faith, many philosophies, and this is precisely what we are seeing. But God has lit the fire among the young people, and these young people don't want to come to church anymore, because they are tired of the church. And half the time what the church is trying to do is we want to come up with programs, but these young people are gathering in public squares praying. So what we need to do, church, is to pray, not to have another program. Amen, Jesus' name. But God is doing something in London, and God is also doing something in Nairobi, Kenya. Something good is going to happen over there. And because when Nairobi, Kenya comes alive, whole of Africa comes alive, because it is a country of, not a country only, but a city of influence, something good is going to happen. But in America, Dallas has been named as a place in which God is going to move as a spiritual center. But you know which city in our part of the world has been recognized all over the world by many great men and women of God as a city of faith, a spiritual center? Anyone want to guess? Perth. Perth has been recognized by many men and women of God as a spiritual center. Come on, can we have a smile? Some of you, right. Come on, this is ground zero of revival. Something good has happened. What is a revival? Revival is not us as Christians in the four walls, that we feel so good about God and God loves us and we feel so gushily warm and by His embrace. But when there is a revival, it does not just impact the believers, but it impacts whole of the society. And a student of history, I love history. If you study revival over the years, in one of the great revival 200-300 years ago, it shifted up the women's role, because women in those days were under subjugation or so-called subordination. But because of revival, women began to take leadership not within the churches but also in society. And when the revival began to move, it began to impact so-called policies, and especially America, about anti-slavery. A lot of those in the 18 something, there was a great revival. It's called the Great Awakening. And then what happened was it began to shift the hearts of people. They began to realize it was wrong to have slaves. And this is what is going to happen in a lifetime. When there's a revival, it's not about us feeling God love us, but we're going to see shifts happening in our society that is going to set people free. Amen. How many of us desire to see people set free? We have been set free in Christ. But even if you feel you've not been set free, are you not glad you're still in Christ? And Christ is still working on us. How much more about those outside who are under bondages and they desire to be set free, but they do not have the Spirit of God helping them. They do not have the strength in them. They do not have the thing of what God is calling them to be. And so they are always broken. They are always under the shackles of guilt and shame. But God moves our hearts. God will move this city and God will move the nation. Amen. Wow, I feel so wonderful. I feel that in my next few months, this is where the passion of us believing God is going to do great things. And let us not be prideful saying that, oh, we are the spiritual center. I think we must learn the lesson of, oh, it's not about that. It's about us becoming the shining light for us to take the gospel from this place into the nation. In Perth alone, we have about 250 different ethnic groups. And everyone comes from one country, from one nation. If we bring the gospel to them, they will bring righteousness into their nations. So therefore, today my message call is new language, new expression. This is something I was having lots of conversation within the board, where God is going to do something sometime first, like our people lack the language, or we lack so-called the expression. So words like we call a revival, this word we don't use often, or we talk about outpouring, or we talk about awakening. But you know, these are new words in which our expression we may not be. Okay? You see the slides? Can we read this together? When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like a blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seems to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Are all not these who are speaking Galileans? How is it that each of us hears them in our own native language?" Hallelujah. The Galilean speaks with a northern accent, right? Just like for me, I never speak with an accent until I left Singapore. And, you know, I'm a Galilean in a sense. You know, I speak, y'all find my accent very strange. But when I speak the word of God, you can hear it, because it's a spirit that moves in me, the same spirit that moves in your heart. Do we not feel something good is going to happen? You know, we are not entering into revival. In fact, we have crossed the Jordan. Now we are in revival mode. Okay, so don't pray anymore for revival to come. I'm telling you, the revival has started. It's whether we have the yearning, it's whether we have the desire to see it happen. But before I get to that point, next slide, I want you all to form twos or threes or five or what. I mean, just turn to your neighbor and share. What was the Holy Spirit doing in the presence of the believers and the people in the marketplace? Quickly now, just turn to your neighbor. Looking at the text, don't be shy, just share. You know, there's no right or wrong answer. All right. Anyone want to shout the answer? What was the Holy Spirit doing in the presence of the believers? Everyone look down now. You drop a coin, something, you know? Anyone? He connected them together as one body. What else? Conviction. Thank you, Andrew. Anyone? Empowered? Very good. Okay, this one is a silent majority. Come on, speak up. Are you on the same text? Okay, no. Okay. What we can see, God was doing something among the believers, whether it's empowerment, greater anointing, conviction. But what was God doing in the spirit among the people in the marketplace? Your answer, please. Avin, the intelligent, come, speak to us.
I guess just Spirit's trying to show what God is, you know, speaking to them.
Yeah. Yes. They could perceive something was happening. They could perceive the good news by the action and the behavior of the believers. Basically, I'm telling you something, people. When we talk about revival, this is happening. Something, God is moving our hearts. But do not think God just moving our hearts. God's moving hearts of people across the city. And they are waiting for the church to reveal itself. too often we hope to earn an audience. There are times we need to have that right to speak the gospel because we can only move at the speed of trust. But sometimes there's a sense of, when God moves, there's a sense of immediacy, a sense of urgency that we need to speak up. We need to do something that God is calling us to do. You know, I think as a people of God, we know that God had desire for us, especially those of you who are Gen Z. You are in a privileged position because things God is going to move is so amazing that many of you are going to see amazing signs and wonders. Some of you may say, oh, some anointed people will do it. No, we are all anointed. We all have the anointing. It's whether we act on it or not. You know, as a pastor for many years, I can tell you, sometimes God put His Spirit in us. God give us dreams. God give us vision. God give us something that is so powerful that beyond our imagination, but sometimes we don't believe God can use us. In fact, just a few days ago, I was telling Joanne that, hey, I just holding a new baby girl. And she was laughing, huh? I said, yeah, this girl is so cute, you know? And he said, wow, I had this dream that this girl is so cute, and I know this girl is my daughter. And so she was asking me, what's the name of the girl? I said, the girl is called Ministry. And they were laughing away because God is going to give us a new ministry. I said, this ministry is so beautiful because I say she got more at the side of her face. I said, Marilyn Monroe. I say, yeah. And God is doing something, but we also must recognize something is happening. When God gives us a ministry or give us a new possibility of life in us. Just like Mary say, I never been touched by a woman before. How can I conceive and bear forth a child? And spirit, and the angels say that what is impossible with man is possible with God. If God has destined you to bring forth something that you know you don't have capacity, unless there is divine intervention, the issue here is, will you be open to receive the divine intervention? And Mary had a posture of that servant. Say, let it be unto me according to the word. But do you know sometimes where God gives us something so much more than we can ever imagine? But there are three things we all know, at least in the physical world, that can terminate a birth or not bring a baby to full term. One, of course, we'll say is barrenness. No, a couple can try to have a child, but they couldn't conceive. And of course, thank God now for modern medicine that sometimes, you know, barrenness can be cured in a sense. But in the old days, in biblical time, if you were barren, it was named as a curse because you had no children. That means you are not favored by God. So there is a sense of shame that, you know, you try to serve God, you try to give something to God, but yet somehow God don't seem to inspire you. But thank God, after in the new covenant, there is no barrenness of ministry. Right, what God can do for Elizabeth, what God can do for Mary, God can do any one of us. If you're willing to dream with God, all things are possible. Sometimes we cannot do it physically, but if we trust God for divine intervention, He can empower us. He can bring the conviction. He can do something that we can say, it is the Lord's work. But secondly, sometimes we cannot bring to full term is because we choose abortion. Like someone decided not to carry the baby the full term, you can say, I will have abortion. That means sometime where God gave us a dream, gave us a vision, because of our disobedience, because of our unwillingness, we choose not to bring it to birth. It is an abortion. It means the capacity to reproduce in you, the capacity for you to make a difference in your lifetime, you say, no thanks, God. I don't want it. I got other things. I got other priorities. I don't need it. That is called an abortion. The third one is what I call tragic. It's called miscarriage. Miscarriage means you know you are conceived. You know you carry something in you. But somehow, somewhere along the way, you cannot bring it into that. You cannot birth that ministry, birth that something because of a miscarriage. You know, and it's not your fault. Sometimes things happen. It just cannot happen. No, so barrenness is you try, you can't have it. Abortion is you have it, but you don't want it. Miscarriage, you have it, but you cannot keep it. That's why you talk to, I never been pregnant before, though I look like one. But you talk to ladies who are pregnant, or talk to, about, especially us Asian, right? When someone's pregnant, we always tell them, what? Be careful what you eat. Right, be careful your diet. Huh? Take enough folic, take enough of vitamin, think of some, but don't take this, don't take cold water, don't take coconut, whatever it is, they'll tell you all kinds of things. So when someone is pregnant, we will often give our own version, right, of be careful what you eat or choose your food correctly. So, brothers and sisters in Christ, God has given us a dream. God has given us a vision. But God wants us to bring it into full term. But to bring any ministry, to bring something fresh and new into full term, we must be careful with what we eat. We make sure we eat the Word of God correctly. We need to consume the Word in such a powerful way that the Word of God not just please our ear or just tickle our ear, but the Word of God catch hold of our heart and stirs us to so much more than we can ever imagine, because we know God has spoken to us. God is doing something so much more than we can ever ask or ever imagine, because it is the hands of God. Amen. You know, where the church came together, going back to Acts chapter 2, it says they were all gathered in one place. There was a gathering. It's called assembly. The Greek word for church is called ecclesia. Ecclesia means the core ones. Because when Jesus talked about, I will build my church, I'll build my ecclesia, actually it means an assembly. It doesn't mean the individual just come, just like we just come individually when we feel like coming or don't feel like coming. But we gather as an assembly. So those of us who've been to school days, we know that assembly means what? Everyone must gather together. The whole school is there. They hear something from the principal. Everyone has to do something together as a whole school. That's called assembly. It doesn't matter you're tall or short, whether you are fit or unfit. Or you know, as we assemble, where the principal tells us or the school tells us to do something, we do it together. If you were in the military before, where there's an assembly, or where the soldier comes together, whether you call it a regiment or a platoon, where we are all assembled, we are taking instruction and follow. So when we come here every Sunday into the house of God, we do not just merely come as individual, but we will come as an assembly. And the best description I can think of is Marvel Heroes. Right, remember End Games, where Captain America say, Avengers, assemble. Right, remember that scene? I know some of you never watched the movie. I feel sorry for you. But those of us who saw it, we get excited. Because when he called Avengers, assemble, we know that every one of them were different. There was Doctor Strange, there was Spider-Man, there was Ant-Man, and all the different characters. And all of them, by right, have their own strength. They have their own so-called graces, their own ability, their own power. But when they came together, they become an unstoppable force. In First Light, I'll tell you, we have Iron Sang. Right, we have the incredible John Ong. Don't see him skinny, but push come to shove, literally he will manifest his jiu-jitsu skill. Right, don't mess with him, incredible John Ong. Right, but if First Light ever face an existential crisis, we have the Rena. You know, when she gave her war cry, when she prayed, things will begin to move. But I'm saying that every one of you are gifted by the Spirit. You have the graces, you have the ability, you have the anointing. On your own, you guys are already doing great things for God. But when we assemble together, I tell you, we are unstoppable. You know, many years ago, this is featured on National Geography, you know, somewhere in Africa, there was a huge herd of elephants. There were so many elephants, they were just eating all the crops of the land. So the authorities say that we need to cull some of these elephants. And so they decided that they choose to kill the older elephants first. And you know, so they start killing all the old elephants, thinking that, well, they are old, must I kill them? But the moment they start killing the old elephants, what happens was this. All the young elephants went amok, went chaotic, and start doing destructive things. Because they didn't realize that in the elephant so-called culture, the old elephants is the one who gives stability. Not all the old elephants are leading, but they give certain stability. And so this chaos went for a number of years. These young elephants went trashing all the farm areas, and sometimes some lives were being sacrificed because of that. Until somebody was smart and said, why don't we bring some old elephant from the neighboring country? bring it back into all these different herds. And so they brought in some old elephants. Immediately, when the old elephants were reintroduced into the herd, stability comes. First light, I thank God we have some old elephants here. And when I talk about old elephants, I say that there are people who have stability in their marriage life. There are people who have stability in their work life. People who have stability in their spiritual life. These are elephants. They may not be leadership, but when they are around, we feel safer. We feel stronger. We feel there's a sense of not just just church is not just a young people thing. Oh, let the young people do it. But all of us together, when we do it, we example, right? Ivy, right? I'm not calling you an elephant, mind you. But when you have Ivy in the midst, you know things are good because there is experience, there's wisdom, right? You have, and this is where we all need to understand. God is on doing something much more than we can imagine. Aslan is on the move. But we must be willing to say that it's not about age thing. Even God is calling the Gen Z or the Gen A to something because of the lifetime they're going to see a great move of God. Doesn't mean all of us are forgotten. We could be the old elephants that bring stability and wisdom. But we could be people who are good brothers and sisters who start to pray, start to intercede, start to do something. You know that we would not allow someone to go, you know, where God's hands is upon them, that we pray there's no barrenness. They will bring something of God that's so supernatural that only they can do it. That we pray that someone will not just turn away and abort the plan of God in their life. Because they choose to go the other way. But I say, no, you cannot, because God's hands is on you. But when people who are in that risk of miscarriage of what God's calling them in their life, we must pray, we must intercede, we must truly be an encourager to them that no, whatever they carry in them will come into full term in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. At this time, I feel that we need to stand up and pray and invite Rina, right? The Rina, and as well as Sarah to come forward just to lead us in prayer. Everybody, let's pray for what the Word of God is saying us today, that we really want to get into, not just something that, oh, it's for someone else, but we want to say, it is for me. It is for my household. It is for us as first light. Let's all rise. First light, example.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Can I ask Josh to go up and play the keys, please? Sorry. Hallelujah. You know, as Pastor was preaching, there are three things that he mentioned, which is the barren, the one who have aborted, and the miscarriages. And I just want to say something. I can speak on behalf of the people who have aborted, because I have aborted 4 times. In the natural, I have aborted 4 unborn children. It's not something I am proud of, but I know how God sees me. I have given up a lot of things in my life, but there's one thing that God has done in my life that I will never abort, which is what He has called me to do. There were many times that I felt like giving up, but I just want to invite people. I'm not saying you have aborted naturally. I'm asking that maybe something that God has given you that you feel like, no, I'm not good enough. I'm not enough for this ministry. I'm not enough for what God has for me, because I don't have the skills, or because of my past, or because of something that had happened in my life that you know what, I don't want to do it. I'm going to invite you to come up, and please, this is not a place of shame. This is not a place of guilt. This is a place of where God wants to restore you. God wants to do something amazing. God wants to remind you that He has not forgotten you. And the abortion, as in the spiritual, God wants to restore that. And I invite you, if you think that's you, please come up. Please stand over this side. Please do not let the enemy stop you from wanting to come out and be bold to do that. And please come here and stand here. The second part that I want to ask is the one who have had miscarriages. Things happened whether it is naturally, whether it's physically, or whether it's, you know, you were trying to do things, you were trying to get there to serve God, to actually do what He has called you to do, but sometimes things happened and you couldn't continue, you couldn't do it. You couldn't do it for some reason. Either somebody has passed away in your family and you feel like, okay, that's it, I'm not going to do it. Or something didn't happen in the ministry that you didn't get to finish what God has called you. Or maybe something happened to your children. Maybe something happened and that stopped you. Maybe there was a divorce. Maybe there was something that had happened that you go like, nah. I invite you to stand here, to come. You know what? There is no shame. We are a family. We are a community. We are His children. I want to invite you to stand in the middle. I'm going to count to three later and you're going to be starting to run out, okay? Because let me tell you, the enemy wants you to stay where you're at. He does, because he doesn't want you to fulfill the call that he has already put on your life. As Pastor Richard actually preaches now, there's already a revival. Revival is already happening, but are we going to respond to it or not? Yeah? And the barrenness. Oh, Lord Jesus. It is a lie from the pit of hell. If you think you have nothing, you think you have been cursed because of sin and iniquity and transgressions of your forefathers, let me tell you, it's a lie. There is the grace of God in your life, in each and every one of us. You know what? And sometimes we just stay stagnant in where we are because we go like, it's okay. I'm just, yeah, I come to church every Sunday. I'm doing my duty. Let me tell you something, my friends, my family, we are here together. That you've got a call on your life. You're not just here to come to church on a Sunday and just walk out of here barren all the time. No, He wants to fill you up. He wants to fill you up. He's got something in there for you. And I will say that whatever that is going on, whatever that's going on in your lives right now that is stopping you, God has something for you. It doesn't matter whether your relationship is in the right place or not, but He's got something for you because He knows you. He thought of you before you were formed in your mother's womb. So I'm going to invite you to stand. If all of you run up, it would be great. Pastor Joanne laughed like Sarah did. But you know what? You're standing for someone out there, maybe for your children, maybe for your other family members, maybe for your spouse, I don't know. But don't let that voice, the accuser of the brethren, to stop you today in Jesus' name. And I'm going to count to three. Are you going to come running? I'm going to count to three, okay? Are we ready? Gen Z's, you are the voice of the future. In fact, you are the voice of now. So I'm going to count to three. If you're not running out, I will be really surprised. Oh, me of little faith? No, I have faith in my God because this is what He wants to do. Not by anyone, not by anything. We got a message today because He wants to do something. Amen? So I'm going to count. One. Rataba shikiendere le boboroste. Two. Ratamere ya kiendrelisi ando robose. Three. Run out. Run out. Come on. Yes. Go. One by one. Come on. You're going to be that voice. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, Kaylee. What are you waiting for? You want me to call out your name? Because I know God has a call on your life. Anna, come on. Run out. Rotaba shiki andere le boburuste. Hudebilia ki andere de nana setriando. Come on, you guys are so slow. You're moving. Come on. Yes, you do.
not only for the Gen Zs, but it's also for the baby boomers, because we need your voices. Hallelujah. Rest of you who are still standing. Actually, Elvin, I'm sorry. Elvin, your wife cannot be standing there alone. You gotta go with her. You gotta stand. And can I ask the rest of the church to come closer, and can we lay hands on these people? Can we do that? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Can you come? God is faithful to you. God has not forgotten you. God is wanting to do amazing things through you, but are you willing? Are you willing? Are you willing? He said he's canceling things out of your life. All the things that even have you have thought that is not of him. He said, like, I'm washing it off right now in the name of Jesus Christ. I'm washing it off right now in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Just as we were praying, I was just reminded of the scripture where it said that in that day, God is going to pour out his spirit on sons and daughters. And yes, I'm not going to quote it correctly under pressure, but he's going to pour out his spirit on all flesh, on the sons and daughters. And the young men will see visions, the old men will dream dreams. And I just felt like it was just this incredible encouragement that it doesn't matter our age or our gender or our stage in life, but God's Spirit is for everyone, and he longs to pour out his Spirit to everyone. And all we need to do is be willing to receive that. It's just our willingness. It's no qualifications, but it's just the gift of his Spirit to all of us. Thank you.
Now let us pray, not just for ourselves, but for our people, the assembly of the people of God, that God, do not pass us by. Aslan is on the move. He's inviting us to move with him. And all you need to say is, Lord, here I am.